Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back, Walking in His Word. We are diving in right in the middle. Great message. Are you living near Satan's throne?
One of the things that Pastor Tim points out about the church in Pergamum is that they were faithful. They were doing good works.
Yeah.
And they were doing good things, and it was despite opposition, right?
Yeah, come on.
I was just recently listening to this interview with this celebrity, and we all know who he is. I don't want to give out his name, but the celebrity was like a childhood movie star, then kind of sank into addictions and depressions and hit a low point, and then has started climbing out of that, and he's actually found Jesus.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And he said in an interview, he said, "I thought life was about being happy."
Right.
And I thought that if I had this much money, that house, that car, that thing, then happy, I'd be happy. And it wasn't working. And then through this process I've been going through, I realized something, and it's taken me a while to realize this. He says, it's not about pursuing things to make you happy. He says, life is about figuring out how your setbacks and your problems are now a platform for your life's pursuit.
Mm, that's good.
And he says that life is not about avoiding problems.
Mm,
he says it's about figuring out how are these platforms now my like wisdom.
Yeah, right.
My purpose, and I can help others now as well.
Right, that's Ooh. Good.
It's his light bulb just came on. And man, I think we all need to get there. And it feels like the Church of Pergamum got there.
Yeah.
Where like they looked at all these problems and they're just like, no. I think all these problems now are our purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. These problems are going to become our purpose.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go to the message.
Let's do it.
He says, "I know your works." He says, "I know where you dwell." And so God knew exactly where they dwelt. And he says, "I know where you dwell. I know that you're placed there in a challenging situation. I know it's right by Satan's throne. I know Satan is there. His throne is there. His authority is there. There's persecution there. There's challenges there. There's all kinds of evil there. I know that. I know that's right where you live, right where you dwell. But I'm not moving you out." He doesn't come to Pergamos and say, "Oh my gosh, Satan's throne is there. Get out! Save yourselves." That's not what he's saying. That's not his message to us today. "I know the challenges where you live, where you work, the culture in which you live. I know all the temptations around you. I know the persecution that might be coming upon you. I know everything about you, everything about your situation, all the challenges you face. I know that each and every day that you gotta be strong in the grace of God and resist temptation, and you're surrounded by wickedness. The Lord is saying, I know that. And my message to you is not run. Flee, save yourselves, but rather be strong in the grace of God. Persevere, endure, stay faithful, hold fast, shine your light, overcome in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. He did not put the church down here that when the culture starts getting dark, that everybody in the church then buys land in the UP to escape the coming calamity. He's not calling us to hibernate, to isolate, to run away, to be in fear, to hoard our stuff. No, we are to live and work and serve and witness right where Satan's throne is. Now, some of you don't want to hear this, but some of you are hearing this. He says, "I know where you dwell. Hold fast my name." My name, Jesus. What a great name. He says, they were holding fast my name. You know, in emperor worship, as I've already mentioned, Pergamos had three temples built to Caesar worship. And they would require the citizens to burn incense to Caesar and say, Caesar is Lord. But a lot of people would refuse to do that, Christians, because Jesus is Lord. And they would say, if I burn incense to Caesar and say, Caesar is Lord, that's an act of idolatry, false worship, and denying my Savior, Jesus. So they would refuse to do it. And many of them were put to death because of their refusal to worship someone or something other than Jesus Christ. And so that's what he means. He's looking down at this church and he says, man, you have held fast to my name, the name of Jesus. And I tell you what, that's what we need to do as a church is we need to hold fast to his name, right? And there's something about the name Jesus. You can talk about God, but boy, you start bringing that name, Jesus, into the conversation. All of a sudden, people start getting uncomfortable, don't they? I tell you why, because his name is high and lifted up, and no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus that's a stumbling block. It's the name of Jesus that's an offense. Because when you talk about God, well, that could be anybody's God, right? Well, oh, God, and then there and they're thinking, you know, they have their God and what that means to them, and you have your God and what that means to you. But when you start dropping the name Jesus, it gets real specific, doesn't he? Jesus, the Son of God, co-eternal, co-equal to the Father, the one who was sent by the Father and dwelt among us and was perfect, who gave his life as a sacrifice for sin, who was dead for 3 days, and yet God the Father hath quickened him and made him alive and resurrected him from the dead. He ascended to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, coming again in great judgment. The only name given whereby we must be saved is that particular name, the name of Jesus. You know, if we say Jesus, what we're saying is they're sinners. When we say Jesus, what we're saying is every sinner cannot save himself. They need a Savior. His name is Jesus. When we say Jesus, what we're saying is the exclusive claims of Christ, that there is no other way but through his name, right? No other way but through his name, the name of Jesus. He's the only name given, right? The Bible tells us, nor is there salvation in any other, for as there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. The Jews might look at him as a great teacher. The Muslims might look at him as a prophet. But we look at him as the Savior, the Son of God, King of kings and Lord of lords. As a Christian, we say, he is my Lord and my God. And the reason why we go forth witnessing the name of Jesus is because we believe what the Bible says about Jesus, that he is the only way. You must be saved through believing in his name. Somebody say amen to that. Now, when the disciples were preaching and teaching in the early days, you know, the leadership, they got all concerned about it. So they arrest them. And it tells us this in Acts chapter 4. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. From now on, they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. See, that's the name that the devil hates. It's the name that the devil hates, Jesus. Jesus. To some, it's a curse word, Jesus Christ. To others, it's worship, Jesus. To some, he's just a prophet, he's just a teacher, he's a good and moral example. But to those of us that are truly saved, we say Jesus is Lord. He's the object of our affection. We willingly bow our knee now and confess Jesus is Lord. There's coming a day where everybody in heaven, in earth, and under the earth will be made to bow and to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. But because we have believed and have received him, we willingly, joyfully, worshipfully bow our knee and worship Jesus. Jesus. You know, it was a common name back then. Just a common name, like John or Peter, Jake. You know, just a common name. But boy, has it become special, unique. Songs. I believe more songs have been written about Jesus than about any other person.
Man, when Pastor was talking about this this idea of saying the name of Jesus and how powerful his name was, I just thought about something that happened recently in our world was when quarterback's rookie C.J. Stroud for the Houston Texans was won his very first playoff game as an NFL quarterback, beat the Cleveland Browns. And in the post-game interview, you know, the interviewer came up and she asked him, you know, what does it mean to win this game, to be here? How does this feel? And the first thing that he said is like, man, I feel so blessed. And I just want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yep.
And he said that name, you know, because tons of quarterbacks and players, you're like, I want to thank God. It's so good to be here. But he said that name. I want to thank Jesus Christ. And it was awesome. I was like, man, this is an awesome interview. I watched it live. I was like, man, this is an awesome interview. And then like the next day on social media, I saw the same interview, but they had edited out the part where he said, I want to thank Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And it was just this example of, man, nobody that you can say God all you want to, because they're like, they're, you know, it could mean whatever kind of God you want it to mean. But as soon as you get specific, you say that powerful name of Jesus, the enemy doesn't like that. He wants to get that out of there.
Somebody didn't like it.
Somebody didn't like it.
I mean, if they liked it or if they didn't care, they would have kept it in.
Exactly.
Somebody didn't like it. I wonder who that was.
I don't know.
I wonder why. I wonder why it made them not like it. I mean, it made somebody uncomfortable or angry or something. They didn't like it. That's interesting, isn't it?
So interesting.
It's the power of the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Pastor Tim was saying it was a common name back then, but it ain't common anymore.
No, sir. No way.
It's the name above all names.
Come on. It's the only name by which man can be saved. And come on.
You know what I'm excited about?
What are you excited about?
We got the opportunity tonight at church to worship the name above every other name, of Jesus.
Come on.
Church starts at 7 o'clock. You can find more information at cornerstonehighland.com. And along with church tonight, we also have something starting this Friday night for the men. We got
Let's
a men's
go.
Conference this weekend at church, Friday and Saturday.
Fired
and
up.
Also that too. We got Friday and Saturday men's conference, but then there is a spillover from the men's conference Sunday morning because we got two guest speakers Sunday morning at church from the men's conference as well.
Yep.
We got a whole weekend of just, I'm so excited for the whole weekend. This is like one of my favorite weekends the entire year. So check this out, men.
Man Up 2024 is coming March 8th and 9th. Men, you were meant for more. Man Up Conference is brought to you by Cornerstone Church and features guest speaker Ross Shear, powerful worship, and a move of God for this generation of men. To buy tickets and find out more information, go to cornerstonehighland.com/men.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.